23-50. Mr. Petnick?
Yes, sir.
Did I pronounce that correctly?
You did, Your Honor.
Okay, and Ms. Peasley? And I understand, let's see, you have set, I don't have an indication here how much time, let me see that.
It was 11 minutes, Your Honor.
You have 11 minutes for rebuttal? So you're saving 4 minutes for a rebuttal?
Yes,
is that correct? Okay, Mr. Petnick, we're ready when you are.
Thank you. May it please the court, Gotham Petnick with John Damaris on behalf of IBM. To find the 789 patent invalid under 101, the district court violated the protections of Rule 12 jurisprudence, warranting reversal and remand. Specifically, the court used extrinsic evidence sua sponte for a derivative claim construction and resolved the claim construction dispute highlighted in that evidence against IBM, instead of drawing all inferences in favor of IBM. Although nominally accepting IBM's proposed claim construction for the term synchronizing, the court further construed the construction's use of automatically, sua sponte using a Webster's dictionary, to find that automatically could be met with updates made by someone other than the user without exercising independent judgment. The court acknowledged that even the dictionary it used provided multiple meanings, but it chose to use the meaning that did not draw all reasonable inferences in favor of IBM, as it should have at this Rule 12 stage. This can be seen at footnote 14 of the order, which is at Appendix 30, where the court understands that IBM's proffered construction of synchronize would entail no human involvement, but nonetheless focuses on Webster's use of without thought or conscious intention.
Mr. Petnick, I'm wondering, you're talking about the 789 patent right now, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
One of the concerns I have is that these claims, the specification, the expert declaration, they talk about how it's important to update the list and the map, synchronize them, have them update automatically at the same time. But the patent specification does not talk about, for example, why this was a difficult thing to do, what the technological solution is in obtaining this, why, you know, there's nothing about, oh, this is why it was so difficult before, and this is what we had to jump through in order to make this happen. Instead, it sounds more like a wish list. Okay, we want them to update at the same time. Now we're going to claim updating them at the same time without any explanation of what, you know, was the improvement. So it sounds, for that reason, like an abstract idea. How do you respond to that?
Respectfully, Your Honor, if you turn to column 2 of the patent, of the 789 patent, at line 55, well, it's the inventors specified that conventional systems, I'm sorry, it's 58. Conventional systems do not concurrently update the list display and map display.
Is that the page number you're giving us, or the?
I'm sorry, it's appendix 55, Your Honor.
And it's column 2, lines, say,
57-ish?
50, yeah, to 60. But that all that says is that conventional systems do not concurrently update the display and map display. And so now you say, they don't do that. I want them to do it. And there's no explanation of how it does it or, you know, the hurdles. I mean, they're updating things at the same time was generally known, right?
So, sure, Your Honor, but if you look at column 6 as well, and I'm looking at appendix 57 at line 40, the benefit of the concurrent updating, it shows that it allows the users to view changes made in either display concurrently across both displays, which provides greater interactivity and selection capabilities.
You're not saying that's the claimed advance.
It is in the claim, Your Honor.
It isn't, or the claim advance? What's the claimed advance here?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
What advance are you arguing has it, been...
Fair enough, Your Honor.
By the patent.
It is the focus is twofold. It is the user selection of the area coupled with the concurrent updating to modify what synchronize means. If you look at the claim, synchronize is described with some particularity and it refers to the concurrent updating of both the selection.
You're not claiming synchronization as a method or...
Well, Your Honor, if you look at appendix in the prosecution history, 2240 and 2241, this is the invention disclosure that was provided with this application. And if you look at the main idea of the disclosure on 2240, the inventors acknowledge that quite a bit of art surrounds selecting a polygon on a map, but none of it deselects the area outside. This is all trying to get more relevant information presented to the user. The deselection was not done before, as shown in the prosecution history.
I thought there was an admission somewhere that the selecting of an area on a display itself was not the point of the claims, or maybe it was conventional. Am I wrong about that?
I think it's this language we're pointing to, Your Honor, right now, where it says quite a bit of art around selecting a polygon on a map. It's the same selection. But I would argue that Berkheimer counsels that even if it was known in the art, it doesn't mean it's not inventive when it's combined with the rest of the claim. And so does Bascom.
So I'm still a little confused as to what you're saying is non-abstract in these claims. Because it still sounds to me like what you're saying is having the user determine parameters to generate data and to display the data in a certain way. And I think almost all of our cases that have addressed selecting, characterizing, and displaying data have not found any of those to be directed to eligible ideas. We found them abstract. So what's non-abstract in synchronizing the data when you display it?
I would focus on the concurrently updating for the selection and deselection, because that is something that's not done in any context other than the computer context, which is what these claims are directed to, because you can't do that simultaneously in the real world. And I think the lower court's use of a map and scissors and paper shows that's more consecutive than concurrent, updating the map and the elements.
Go ahead.
Why is it you say you can't do that in real life? If you ask me, Lincoln, Nebraska, I'll pull out a map of Nebraska, then I'll pull out a map of a particular county, then I'll pull out a map of the city of Nebraska. I've synchronized my search.
Your Honor, the inventions here are directed to having two displays up simultaneously, the list and the map, and updating both based on changes in either. And that can only be done, the synchronized math method claimed here is done in real time. That's the use of the word concurrent. I think the use of any maps that do it sequentially read out the word concurrent, which would be improper for the claim. And I think that's what the court did with its use of a paper map, and I think that's what...
So you're saying this does it faster?
No, Your Honor, it's not just faster, because this is a problem unique to the computer. It's a technique that only is available in the computer context.
How does that improve computer technology?
Well, it's improving a GUI, much like Data Engine and Core Wireless.
When you say GUI, you mean a graphical user interface?
Yes, Your Honor.
And you think that that's required by your claim because it says presenting a map display on a display device?
A display device. And the lower court acknowledged or thought that it meant a computer monitor as a display device. So that's why we focus on the improvement to the GUI, which in turn improves the interaction between the human and the computer device.
Can I direct you to the 389 patent for a little while?
Sure.
Some of those claims, let me ask you, I'm curious about claims 1 through 6. I have some concerns about them as compared to the other claims. Claims 1 through 6, I don't see how they're limited to a computer. Do you think they're limited to a computer?
Your Honor, I would direct you to in the abstract of the patent itself on Appendix 62. It specifies that the objects at issue in this patent are attributes that are stored in data store, such as a relational database.
I understand, but if you look at the claim itself, it just says, you know, it's a method. The other claims, like Claim 8, for example, clearly have some computer hardware in there. But these claims, like Claim 1, very broad, a method of displaying layered data, said method including selecting one or more objects. I mean, it sounds like it doesn't have to be done on a computer. So I want to know, first of all, did you advocate a claim construction below that limited the claim to a computer? And second, I guess I do want to know, you say it's limited to a computer, but I guess really, did you make this argument below?
I believe we did, Your Honor, in the lower court, that this is a computer context, and I think that came in the flow of...
Was that like as part of claim construction? Because I couldn't find it in the record.
I don't know if it would really specify that it was a computer context in the claim construction, but we did look at claim 13 as a, it should have been thought of as a representative claim. And I think the intent there was to show that there was a computer aspect to these, or computer context to these claims.
Thinking about Berkheimer and Atrix, which you mentioned earlier, and dismissal on the pleadings, does an expert declaration attached to a report, attached to a complaint, is that something where we have to accept the statements in that expert declaration is true?
I think Atrix and both Atrix and Selspin counsel that they should be considered, the declarations, unless there's countervailing evidence, and whether it's an exhibit or a judicial notice.
Do you think we look at Federal Circuit law for that question, answer to that question, or do we look at Regional Circuit law?
I think that's a Regional Circuit law in the sense of what is presumed for a Rule 12 analysis, and I think all inferences are drawn in favor of the non-movement.
And so you think, I think it's the Ninth Circuit, do you think the Ninth Circuit has held that a expert report attached to a complaint should be considered and all the factual statements in there should be accepted as true?
I think all pleadings should be accepted, but I don't know that the Ninth Circuit has actually ruled that an expert report should be included.
So to follow up on this, so accepted how? As evidence or as an inference that's in favor of the movement?
It's accepted as It's accepted as evidence, and all statements taken therein are assumed to be true.
So what assertion of the expert are you saying that is true that creates a genuine issue of fact here?
There are multiple, Your Honor. The expert's declaration...
Give me your best one.
For which patent?
I think we're talking about the 389.
389? So at Appendix 200 to 211, the expert provided background on computer-based information visualization techniques, and he flagged some of the techniques that were known and that their shortcomings of them. And then at 220, he explained how applying non-spatially distinguishable attributes, which are the subject of the 389, across items and layers are better visually identifying distinguished objects. So we talked about the, and then he explained specifically at Appendix 221 in paragraph.
So he's saying that this way of arranging things with emphasizing and highlighting and things like that is a better way to look at it on a computer.
I would couple that with claim two. And what I was going to is paragraphs 83 to 87 at Appendix 221, where he explained how dependent claim 2, 9, and 13 allow users to dynamically manipulate the visualization of the objects to better support the ability to scrutinize and review the data. And that is something that's a unique solution in the computer context.
So it's not really the first one, it's the second one.
I would focus on the second
one. The first thing you were telling me all sounded like an abstract idea.
I think you have to look
at... So even a new abstract idea over the prior art or whatever is still ineligible, right? If it's an abstract idea, it's an abstract idea. The expert can say, this is unconventional and novel, however much he wants. It doesn't create a genuine issue of fact over eligibility.
I agree with that, Your Honor, but I would caveat that with you can still get to the inventive concept if you look at the underlying, what was proffered as part of the declaration, the complaint, and the claims themselves and the spec. You can still find the inventive concept to get over step one of Alice.
I don't understand what you just said. Are you saying the inventive concept can be an abstract idea?
I'm saying an inventive concept can take an ineligible... I'm sorry, I was focusing on both steps together. So in step one, you're correct, Your Honor. You couldn't make it eligible.
If the patent's directed to an abstract idea, it's ineligible at step one.
Correct.
And then you have to show something that's a non-abstract improvement or something like that to make it eligible.
That's right.
And your view of what's non-abstract about this layering technique?
I would focus on claim two, the ability to relayer and rematch. That's not found in the...
So the user can change the criteria for displaying the information.
I think we're reading the claims in conjunction, Your Honor. So the relaying and rematching is a material part of the claims. So they have to be given their meaning.
But it's just a different way for the user to manipulate the information. Here's what I'm getting at. All of these claims, both the 789 and the 389, to me sound like ways to use a computer to manipulate, categorize, and display information in ways that we've found ineligible multiple times. And I understand the core wireless case, but it seems there is something more in the core wireless case because it's not just, you know, using a routine conventional computer to do all this stuff, which I think you've said you're using routine conventional computer equipment. It's to specifically fit it onto a small screen so it actually has to have that technological advance for the way things are displayed. This isn't designed, this design is designed to work on any kind of screen whatsoever, right?
I would respond to that, Your Honor, with Trading Tech and Data Engine both show us that if you have a computer improvement or a technical solution in the computer context, that is patent eligible. And concurrent updating is something that's not done in the paper world. And for the 389, the rematching
and
relaying.
Which Trading Tech case do you think helps you? I thought we held the GUIs in all of the Trading Tech cases ineligible.
There are two. I would say the one that I'm focusing on is Trading Tech versus CQG, which preceded the other one. The first one.
Correct. Okay. Was that a prec decision?
That was not a precedential decision, right. But it was cited in data.
And after that, didn't we fairly dramatically distinguish that case in a precedential decision?
I think it was.
Is that your case for Trading Tech? Is there any other Trading Tech case?
No, that is my case. But I would focus on Data Engine as well, Your Honor.
So your view is that this is a graphical user interface and the technological improvement is displaying the data in a particular way that's an improved graphical user interface. Do I understand that?
It's improving the interaction.
Is it more than that?
It's improving the interaction in the computer context of the graphical user interface. And it's doing it with computer solutions, technical solutions that are available only on the computer.
But not in the way Core Wireless found it eligible, which is they found it dedicated to a specific way of doing it on a small screen, right?
Setting
aside that trading case, what's the other case you were trying to talk about?
Data Engine, Your Honor.
Is that a PREC case?
Yes, that is.
And what does it say?
Data Engine, that showed that methods that allow a computer device to conveniently locate information of interest and improves the accuracy, they found that eligible under step one.
Now, you have to look at that specific claim in that case, right? Just like you'd have to look at the specific claim in this case, look at all the evidence, the specification, and see whether you think the claims are directed to an abstract idea or a technological solution, right?
But that's
correct. Think you're relying on Data Engine generally for the idea that this court in the past has found that a GUI can be a technological improvement. Satisfy step one.
It
right?
also sheds light on the fact of what is looked at and what is found material for that analysis. And in Data Engine, it was held that the real world analogy that the court used wasn't appropriate, and we feel we're in the same place here. The paper map doesn't capture the scope of the claim. There's nothing in the record that shows that the claim, as properly understood, actually was done before.
And you think that this is a stronger argument for claim two, because not only is it categorizing the data and displaying the layers with different ways so you can differentiate it among the data, but also it's allowing you to change the way you've categorized the data.
That's correct. And it's done in a dynamic way.
Counselor, you're out of time. You ate up most of your rebuttal time, but I'll restore you 3 minutes of rebuttal time. Okay?
Thank you, Your Honor.
Let's hear from the other side.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. Catherine Peasley, Sussman Godfrey, on behalf of Zillow Group, Inc. and Zillow, Inc. Your Honors are exactly right that all the 789 patent claims is concurrently updating a map and a list display. It is exactly correct that the patent says nothing about how that updating occurs. It simply says that it does occur in response to a user input. The benefits that are claimed of updating a map and a list at the same time are nothing more than the benefit of updating a map and a list at the same time implemented on a computer. There's nothing specific to the computing environment about the benefits that have been claimed either within the patent itself or by the expert. And I believe you just heard counsel for IBM himself say that the benefit here is presenting more relevant information to the user, that's the exact same benefit that the user of the map depicted in our brief would get from having a selected area of interest and a coordinated map. So IBM has made a lot of this idea that concurrent updating of a map and a list could only possibly be done on a computer, and that that itself is inventive. And Judge Rain, I think you're exactly right that there's nothing about concurrently updating two displays that is specific to a computer. If I am a map maker, I and my assistant could concurrently update a map and a corresponding list in response to a request from someone who needs a new map. But if you want to make this even more explicit and match the claims even more specifically, imagine I'm a fourth grade teacher and I have a dry erase board map of Washington, D.C., and it's magnetic. And I have the way that all of the monuments appear on the map, that's their deselected state. I also have a bunch of little red flag magnets, and I have a bunch of magnets with facts on them, one fact for each monument. List the facts along the side, that's my list display. Put little red flags on all the monuments, they're selected. My fourth graders can only focus on so much information at one time, though. So I have a student come up. He draws, or she draws, a shape, any shape they wish, selecting an area of the map. I use my left hand to remove flags from outside that area, and simultaneously, I use my right hand to remove the corresponding fact from the list display. And one by one, I simultaneously update the map and the list so that all we're left with are selected monuments inside that area and their corresponding facts. So now we can focus on that selected area of interest. Erase that, new student draws a new section, I do it again. I update, putting flags back with my left hand, facts back with my right. There is nothing about the idea of concurrently updating two things that cannot be performed by a human being.
Well, can a pen that's directed to providing an accurate display on a GUI, can it ever be not abstract?
If all you are talking about is providing an accurate display, that in and of itself I don't think would be patentable.
What if the specification said something like, it is technically impossible at this time to update the list at the same time as a map, so we came up with this blah, blah, blah technique that allows you to overcome that technological hurdle of updating simultaneously. I'm not saying the specification does that, but if it did, would that present a different case to you?
Sure, Your Honor, and that depends on what the claims say. If the claims taught you how to overcome that hurdle, then yes. But if the claims don't tell you how to overcome that technological hurdle, all they say is, we did it. No, I don't think you have a patentable method. And actually, opposing counsel talked quite a bit about data engine and the idea that in that case, that shows that a GUI that allows for better navigating through information is patentable. And I think that case actually shows exactly why the patent claims here fail. In data engine...
Which are you talking about, the 389 patent? Which patent?
I'm sorry, I'm talking about the 789 patent, okay. Your Honor.
I think we have your argument on the 789, but what about the 389?
Sure. With regard to the 389, it is the exact same situation. You have a long-practiced mapping technique, which is putting information that corresponds to a certain type of object, for instance, rivers in one layer and roads in one layer, making them visually distinguishable from another by, say, assigning them a color.
What evidence do you have that all of that's conventional? I mean, particularly given the dismissal stage that we're at right now and the complaint we have and the declaration of Mr. Cockburn that we have attached to the complaint, that we have to accept the facts asserted in there as true.
Sure, you have to accept the facts with regard to the prior art and how that exists. We'll not argue with IBM, although I think IBM's counsel is correct that the Ninth Circuit has not expressly held that you have to incorporate an expert's declaration. But let's say that you do. All that the expert has stated is that prior art computer systems didn't do this, but that doesn't mean that the technique's not known. And a subway map that we included in our brief shows exactly this. It shows subway lines distinguished by a visual characteristic, which is their bright color and their thickness, distinguished from a road layer, which is shown by gray in another layer.
And what about claim two? That was what I heard Mr. Petnaik to be emphasizing, and that's the one where there's, you know, choosing by the user to change the way that the objects are going to be layered.
Absolutely, Your Honor. Two responses there. The first is that the simple answer is redrawing the map. Certainly, it is much faster to rematch layers and rearrange layers if you have a computer, but this court has held repeatedly that simply claiming the speed and efficiency of applying something on a computer is not itself inventive.
But what about, see, let me just try this. When I read that declaration, I get the sense that what they're saying is that in prior computer displays, it was difficult sometimes to see a bunch of data and distinguish the data. And so this is providing a technique where a user can identify certain data for the first layer, certain data for the second layer, certain data for the third, and so on, mm-hmm. and then identify which layer's going to be displayed in which way, which one's going to be emphasized, how they're going to be emphasized. And then separately, you can change which objects fall into which layer. That's claim 2 and the other claims that depend, I guess, from 8 and 13. But so why is that not a technological solution to a technological problem, that being it's on a computer? We're not talking about I'm going to be, you know, back in the 1950s and I'm making a map, and then I want to decide I want to make a new map. So what about computers?
Well, Your Honor, that scenario that you've given me is exactly the same problem that you would have with any complex data set on a piece of paper. And actually looking at the illustrations in the expert's declaration illustrates exactly this. There's all this data, and what the expert is saying is that previously a computer screen didn't distinguish between things based on visual characteristics, so like color or shape. Instead, it just put everything spatially relative to one another. That would be the exact same thing as putting everything just spatially relative to one another on a piece of paper. I think Core Wireless is a helpful case for distinguishing this, because in Core Wireless, the improvement to a small screen was specific to computers. Small screens, the court there explained, are more likely to have multiple layers of data that you have to drill down through to get to a computer function. And that's an issue that's specific to small screen computers. Here, the problem you're talking about with having a lot of information in a small space is simply the problem of having a lot of information in a small space. And that applies to things beyond simply...
But handling a lot of information in a small space is one of the benefits, technological benefits of a computer. So isn't the improving of viewing that data, as expressed here, a technological solution to a technological problem? Because this is all we do on computers, is we're viewing data. So wouldn't it be the case of something that comes and improves my viewing the data, even uncluttering, you know, the clutter caused by a lot of information that I bring up? Isn't that a technological solution?
No, Your Honor, because visualizing a lot of information is not specific to computers. You're absolutely right that with computers you can visualize a lot of things. But think about a map of the United States and all of the many, many things that you could expect. That's a lot of information, roads and cities and parks and anything you want to put on a map. That's a lot of information. And the way that we maximize the amount of information that a viewer can glean is by putting things in layers that are visually distinct from one another. We don't just put everything on a map in the same color, in the same shape, in one layer, because that would be impossible for us to read. The idea of putting distinct sorts of objects in different layers so that a viewer can parse the information is certainly helpful in a computing context, but
really
it's not unique to it.
I think conventionally people think of objects that way. Like, anyway, let me ask you a different question.
Sure.
Claim 2, let me ask you about that. What is your evidence that shows that this claim was performed in real life? I mean, I'm having a hard time with your analogy there to real life outside of a computer, where you're talking about receiving requests from a user to rearrange the layers, mm-hmm. rearranging the layers, rematching one or more objects to a different layer, displaying the one or more rematched objects. What is your evidence of that? Especially considering we're at the dismissal stage.
Sure, absolutely. First thing I'd say is that I would argue that's exactly the process that someone goes through when they redraw a map to reemphasize a new feature.
I understand your attorney argument. I'm asking what evidence you have.
Well, the nature of maps, but I take your point, and I will, another example. If you look at Exhibit 17 and 18 to our reply to summary judgment, and I can give you the appendix sites to those if you'd like, the military has actually used acetate overlays over maps of battlefields to do precisely this sort of thing. Each acetate overlay has different information, whether that's, you know, a potential battle formation or natural features or whatever it might be. And they have those acetate overlays that they can edit. They can move things from one layer to another. If they want to combine strategies, they can rearrange them. And we cited two military manuals that discuss exactly this. And like I said, I can give you the appendix site if you would like it. But that's exactly what this patent is claiming.
Those are advancements in viewing terrain maps, let's say, right? I mean, that, you're describing a military use of an advancement in the use of computers.
Well, no, these are, I'm not talking about computers. I'm talking about...
Well, the display.
I'm sorry, I don't think I understand your question, Your Honor.
But when you're bringing up the military and the use of the different type of the overlaying of maps, like geography, and then buildings and streets, and that's the overlaying of the maps, mm-hmm. right? And the military use that because that's an advancement in how to view masses of information on a small device.
Or a small piece of paper in the instance I'm referring to.
Really? I mean, you don't think that the former is an advance over the latter?
Well, just to be clear, the military example I'm using is a paper example. It's not a computer example. But if I understand your question, you're asking if whether taking that method of taking clear overlays and stacking them on top of a paper map applied to a computer is an advancement over prior computing? And if I'm correctly understanding your question, the answer might be sure, but that confuses, again, novelty with inventiveness. There was a time when computers had never displayed a map before, but that doesn't mean that the first time a computer displayed a map, that was inventive. And in fact, if you put a computer on a map, you can potentially get a much, much higher resolution map than you could if you just drew it. But again,
using computers as a tool to make information better displayed or more specific generally have not been found to be patent eligible.
That is correct, Your Honor.
Because it's just using computer as a tool to display information. And so in your example, the first person to say, I'm going to use a computer to display a map, doesn't, if that's all they say, that's an abstract idea.
Exactly, Your Honor.
What they need to do to make it patent eligible is explain that I'm the first one to actually figure out how to use a computer to do this and the underlying details, not just the idea. And I take it your view is that they don't have anything here beyond the idea of displaying things in levels and being able to reorder those levels.
Absolutely. That's exactly right, Your Honor.
And even though the expert has said nobody's ever reordered levels in this way on a computer, that's still an abstract idea that doesn't make it patent eligible.
That's exactly right, Your Honor.
How do we know? See, I'm just slightly concerned about the Rule 12 stuff because how do we know that the expert hasn't suggested that they've solved the actual computing problem of how you change the display? Honestly, to me, it sounds like even they would admit they're just using conventional computer techniques. A conventional computer, conventional coding, whatever, to select and deselect. I mean, that stuff doesn't seem particularly new. They're not saying they've invented a new way to select and deselect. But is that appropriate for us to decide at a Rule 12 stage?
Absolutely, Your Honor, because you can accept what the expert has said about prior art systems not being able to do this as true and still find there's no inventive concept for the exact same reason we just discussed, which is there's nothing in the patent and there's nothing in the expert's declaration that explains how this result was achieved.
Okay. You're out of time. Do you want to conclude?
unless the panel has further questions, I will be done. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. Mr. Penick, you have 3 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. I will direct the court first to figures 1 and figure 2.
It's up to you, but you want to take your mask off.
Thank you. Figures 1 and figure 2 of the 389 patent, please. That's appendix 64 and 65. And I just wanted to show somewhat of the meat of claim 2, because this shows in diagram the benefits of the relayering and rematching that are available in this patent. And we proffer that this is not available in the non-computer context. The dynamic nature of changing the layers to also maintain the relationships among them. The transparency analogy that the court used to find this abstract ignores that just moving the layers of the transparencies up and down, you would lose the relationships among them because the lines wouldn't necessarily match up when you change things. Because this is available only in the computer context because it's using the software to do this in a dynamic nature. And that, we would proffer, has not been, as you pointed out, there's nothing in the record evidence that shows that was available before. And I think that was criticized in CardioNet when there was...
I'm still confused as to why, even if this wasn't in the prior art, it's still not just an abstract idea of displaying things in different ways and different relationships and emphasizing those relationships rather than something the computer couldn't do before that you've invented. You're just using the computer to do a display in a different way that hadn't been before. Do you understand the difference there?
I think I do, Your Honor. I think you're looking for an improvement to the computer itself. And what we're saying this case falls more in line with an improvement to the system overall based on the improved GUI, the graphical user interface.
Well, that's where I'm having problems because, you know, apart from Core Wireless, which is still directed to a specific physical location and function of the computer, I don't see where we've held improved GUIs to be patent eligible generally.
I would point you again to Data Engine, Your Honor. I think that's a GUI case, and I think Core Wireless applies as well because that is a GUI case.
Well, yeah, but I mean, let's just assume I don't think Core Wireless helps you here because it's solving a specific problem that small screens are harder to navigate and you have to display information. You're not solving any of those problems. This is not limited to a particular kind of screen. You can use this on a laptop. You can use it on a phone. You can use it on a tablet, right?
Correct.
So what you purport to be solving is a better way of displaying data.
It's an interaction that wasn't available before, Your Honor.
That's true for all these GUIs. The trading technologies GUIs that we found ineligible, apart from that non-precedential case, which I don't think we can rely on, is different ways, in fact, very novel, inventive ways of showing data to help in the stock market. And I think it's recognized that they're inventive, but just because they're inventive abstract ideas doesn't mean that they're still not abstract.
I think in under Rule 12 context, Your Honor, you would have to look at the totality of the record, which includes the declaration and the complaint, which shows that it wasn't done before and what the benefits are now.
Your opponent on the other side argues that the claims here talk about don't show you how to get to the result. What's your reply to that?
There was a lot in the briefing about how it's all functional language, Your Honor. I'll turn your attention to claim 8 of the 789, for instance.
Could you talk? Do you have something on the other one? That's the one we seem to be focused on.
Okay, so going to the 389.
I mean, because that's the one you seem to think you have a novel idea about this dynamic reordering. How does it? Where in the patent or the specification does it tell you how to do the dynamic reordering in a way that's not just using a computer processor and computer software code in a conventional way?
So if you look at column 2 of the 389 patent at appendix 70, at line 50 and going to column 3, line 13. It specifies how the relayering and rematching can be done. And some of the benefits that accompany the what's claimed in the patent.
This is your best response to that argument?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Is there anything else?
No, Your Honor.
My colleagues have any? Okay, we thank you, Counselor, for your arguments this morning.
Thank you.